Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verse 10. I invite you to turn in your Bible there. John, chapter 4, and verse 10. John, chapter 4, and verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Actually, you know, I feel like you're afraid of me, so with your permission, I'm going to come down here. And I hope this doesn't make you feel more nervous, but you're so far away from me. Let's see, is that okay? Am I making you feel uncomfortable? Would you pray with me, please? Our Lord, O Lord, as we again gather before your throne of grace and mercy, we pray that you will breathe your living spirit upon each of us and upon your word. We pray that you will make yourself known to us through your word. And we give you all glory and all honor, all praise, and all worship. All of these things we pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Our scripture reading was taken from John chapter 4. This is a very fascinating story to me because Jesus breaks down barriers. And all he does is ask for a favor. Imagine the scene as Jesus sets beside the Samaritan well. Centuries before, Jacob had dug this well. Water bubbles up from the ground, and it feeds the thirsty. Jesus, at the height of the noonday heat, simply asks a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. Because he asks something of her, which was unheard of, the Samaritans and the Jews for centuries had fought one another. Sometimes religion at its worst will cause us to fight among ourselves. The woman had experienced religion at its worst. Now she was to experience religion at its best in the presence of Jesus, the Master. She is so shocked that a Jewish man would ask a favor of a Samaritan woman. A Samaritan woman that had five husbands. That she began a conversation with the Master. "Give me this living water," she says. I suspect that the man of Nazareth was heavily influenced by the book of Isaiah when he met with this Samaritan woman. Specifically, I believe that Jesus had Isaiah 55 and 56 in mind when he spoke to this Samaritan woman. Today, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah as we continue our quarter-long series on the themes of Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and 56. We're covering two chapters today. Isaiah 55 and 56. I need two volunteers, please. Two volunteers, the first to read the first seven verses of chapter 55, Isaiah, and the second to read through the remainder of the chapter, 8 through 13. Who'd like to go first? Please. And what is your name?
Becky.
Becky. Would you read verses 1 through 7, Isaiah chapter 55, please? Thank you, Dee. I believe Jesus in John chapter 4 was heavily influenced by Isaiah 55. Quite possibly, quite probably, Jesus had read this recently before in prayer and study. And now he gets to apply these words that he himself inspired to the Samaritan woman. Basically, in effect, he says, why are you satisfied with the things of this world? Why don't you come to the well? Come thirsty, where the Lord God of heaven can supply more abundantly than we could even imagine. Have you ever seen a cup of water? Sure you have. One of the fascinating properties of water is the way that the hydrogen and the oxygen bond together. In fact, those bonds are pretty strong. Have you tried to fill a cup of water to the overflowing? What usually happens? The water will stay at the very top of the rim. But Jesus here is saying the blessings that he gives when we thirst for him, when we hunger for him, won't stop at the rim. The blessings that he gives overflows. Now, many times we are afraid when the glass overflows. It tells me that sometimes we are the ones who cut off the blessings of God. Come thirsty to the well, Jesus says. Do not be satisfied with the things that just cause thirst again. Come thirsty to the well of living water. Wow. Why do you spend your money on things that cannot satisfy? Why do I often do things because other people are watching? Come thirsty, Jesus says. Come thirsty. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make you an everlasting covenant. The sure mercies of David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What beautiful promise this is. Let the wicked forsake his wicked thoughts. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Come back. Come back. Come back to the well of living water, Jesus said. I believe Jesus was heavily influenced by Isaiah 55 when he broke down the barriers to a Samaritan woman simply by asking for a drink of water. He tells her and us through extension, we should never, ever be satisfied with what this world has to offer. In fact, he says, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Our ways are selfish. His ways are unselfish. Our ways deal with hoarding and greed. His ways deal with generously granting blessings and overabundance, a living water. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And then he talks about how God the Father, a loving creator, sends moisture to this planet so that the farmer and the sower may have energy for the harvest and bread to the eater. And then verse 11, that famous verse, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It is amazing. It really is amazing how God works. Because as I was reading chapter 55 again this week in preparation for today, and I believe that 55 and 56 are connected. As I was reading these words in 55, and next we'll read 56, I was immediately carried back to Genesis chapter 3. God, the one that, because of human selfishness, was forced to outcast our first parents from that lovely garden home, will one day bring all of us back to the pre-sin state. Amazing. And God says that if you come thirsty to the living well, you will be compared to beautiful trees. Beautiful trees that do things that we Adventists may not be comfortable with. But I love the word picture here of the trees waving their hands and clapping their hands. The trees that reach up to heaven, the fir, the cypress, the myrtle, offer their praise to the living God, our God. And now I need a volunteer, two volunteers, to read chapter 56. First volunteer gets to read verses 1 through 6, and then the second volunteer gets to read 7 through 12. Anita, please, 1 through 6. Becky, you want to read again? You certainly can. Okay. Anita, 1 through 6, and then Becky, you get to read through the end of chapter 56, okay?
Thus saith the Lord, give me judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near at hand, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on him, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting him, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the or the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the sinner say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the nurses that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of our sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one of them keepeth the Sabbath, that from polluting them.
Becky, 7 through 12, please.
Even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings.
you, Becky. Thank you, Anita. Before we dive into chapter 56, chapter 55, the power of God's word. Have you considered the power of God's word? In the beginning, again, we are catapulted back to creation. When we read Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 56, we are catapulted back to pre-sin state. When God speaks, creation begins. The power of God's word gives judgment. The power of God's word gives blessing. The power of God's word gives forgiveness. The power of God's word gives pardon. The power of God's word. There's creation, there's forgiveness, and there's blessing in the power of God's word, and it will not return to him void. Now we're ready for chapter 56. Here, God is saying to those that are strangers, those that are foreigners, that have converted to Judaism, do not think that because you are of a different nation, that the Lord God does not love you. Do not think to those that are eunuchs in the service of the king, because you will have no descendants, that God has forsaken you. Do not think this. If you're a foreigner or if you're a eunuch, do not think this. Isaiah 56 tells us that the Lord God of heaven, the one who says, come thirsty, actually says that he will give them a name which is more meaningful to them than had they been a part of their original family. I believe that the God of the universe originally wanted our first parents to be ambassadors for him. I believe that he wanted our first parents, when they had their offspring, to show their offspring the God of heaven. And I believe that originally God wanted the Garden of Eden to be the center of missionary activity here on earth. I also believe that because of sin, God was forced to drive our first parents from their garden home. I also believe that because of the nation's sin, God was forced to drive them from their national home. It is clear to me that the God of heaven, when he saw that our first parents were driven from their home and that the Garden of Eden could not be the center of missionary activity here on this planet, that he designed that the city of Jerusalem would be the center of missionary activity on this planet. He designed that his people, who were at the crossroads of civilization, would be the missionaries that took God's love to the entire world. I believe it is clear to me that in Isaiah 55 and 56, that the Lord God Almighty is one day again hoping that Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, will be the center of missionary activity, not only for this planet, but for this universe. God is calling for those that were driven out, those that were driven from the garden home, those that were driven from the nation of Israel, from Palestine, those that are oppressed, even to our day, when he calls them back. One day he expects that we, spiritual Jerusalem, will be the missionaries to the universe. I was incredibly impacted by 56 and verse 8. He had just said that he wanted his house to be a house of prayer for all nations, including the Gentiles, including the Jews. Our God is big enough for every person that is thirsty. But then the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts, again, I'm propelled back to the Garden of Eden. He calls them back. Come back. Come thirsty. Why are you satisfied for things that are fleeting? Come back. In heaven, we will be God's missionary to the universe. And God's plan that started before creation, that was derailed in the Garden of Eden, derailed through the nation of Israel, derailed through the physical nation of Israel, derailed through the spiritual nation of Israel. That's us. Will one day be accomplished. And all that are thirsty will proclaim the love of Jesus the Master. In verse 9, the tone changes. He compares spiritual leaders who basically deceive God's sheep into being satisfied with the things of this earth. In fact, not only do these spiritual leaders deceive God's people, but they themselves are partaking of the things that they should be warning against. You notice that the same verbs are used in the description of those that are feeding themselves. Come. We will bring wine instead of the living water. We will partake of wine, intoxicating. We will party today, and we will expect that tomorrow's party will be even more abundant. The God who blesses abundantly has a special place in his heart for those that have been deceived by spiritual leaders who cause his people to not drink the living water, but to be satisfied with the things of this world. Woe to the spiritual leaders that do this. It is my desire to continually be thirsty, to continually go to the water that bubbles up from the ground, to continually drink from that water that is so refreshing and so cool. It is my desire to become more and more like the Lord God. Not so that I can partake of the reward. The reward is nice. Don't get me wrong. The reward is nice. To be part of the missionary efforts to the universe is very attractive to me. But my primary motivation is have my thirst for God quenched. to drink from that living water, well of living water, and be blessed abundantly, more than I could ever imagine. That is my desire. I pray as brothers and sisters that that is your desire as well. That we will continue to draw from the Spirit of life. That we will continue to plumb the depths of His Word. That we will continue with His help to be transformed into His lovely character, so that others in this world who are thirsty can be led to the living water. Come thirsty. Come again and again and again and again. Do not be satisfied with what this world has to offer.